Papers Read on AI with Rob, keeping you up to date with the latest research. This reading is brought to you by Mars Race, Stake a Claim on the Red Planet, available on Android and iOS. Chappie, Generating Conditional 3D Implicit Functions. Authored 2023 by Hiwoo Jun, Alex Nicol. We present Chappie, a conditional generative model for 3D assets. Unlike recent work on 3D generative models which produce a single output representation, Chappie directly generates the parameters of implicit functions that can be rendered as both textured meshes and neural radiance fields. We train Chappie in two stages. First, we train an encoder that deterministically maps 3D assets into the parameters of an implicit function. Second, we train a conditional diffusion model on outputs of the encoder. When trained on a large dataset of paired 3D and text data, our resulting models are capable of generating complex and diverse 3D assets in a matter of seconds. When compared to Point E, an explicit generative model over point clouds, Chappie converges faster and reaches comparable or better sample quality despite modeling a higher dimensional, multi-representation output space. We release model weights, inference code, and samples at https://github.com/openai/chappie. 1. Introduction. With the recent explosion of generative image models, reference 47, 40, 48, 17, 52, 53, 70, 15. There has been increasing interest in training similar generative models for other modalities such as audio, reference 44, 10, 5, 31, 2, 25, video, reference 24, 57, 23, and 3D assets, reference 26, 28, 45, 41. Most of these modalities lend themselves to natural, fixed-size tensor representations that can be directly generated, such as grids of pixels for images or arrays of samples for audio. However, it is less clear how to represent 3D assets in a way that is efficient to generate and easy to use in downstream applications. Recently, implicit neural representations, INRs, have become popular for encoding 3D assets. To represent a 3D asset, INRs typically map 3D coordinates to location-specific information such as density and color. In general, INRs can be thought of as resolution-independent, since they can be queried at arbitrary input points rather than encoding information in a fixed grid or sequence. Since they are end-to-end differentiable, INRs also enable various downstream applications such as style transfer, reference 72, and differentiable shape editing, reference 3. In this work, we focus on two types of INRs for 3D representation. A neural radiance field, NRF, reference 38, is an INR which represents a 3D scene as a function mapping coordinates and viewing directions to densities and RGB colors. A NRF can be rendered from arbitrary views by querying densities and colors along camera rays, and trained to match ground truth renderings of a 3D scene. DMTET, reference 56, and its extension GET3D, reference 18, represent a textured 3D mesh as a function mapping coordinates to colors, sine distances, and vertex offsets. This INR can be used to construct 3D triangle meshes in a differentiable manner, and the resulting meshes can be rendered efficiently using differentiable rasterization libraries, reference 32. Equal contribution, abstract. 2. Although INRs are flexible and expressive, the process of acquiring them for each sample in a dataset can be costly. Additionally, each INR may have many numerical parameters, potentially posing challenges when training downstream generative models. Some works approach these issues by using autoencoders with an implicit decoder to obtain smaller latent representations that can be directly modeled with existing generative techniques, reference 43, 34, 30. DuPont et al., reference 12, present an alternative approach, where they use meta-learning to create a dataset of INRs that share most of their parameters, and then train diffusion models, reference 58, 60, 22, or normalizing flows, reference 51, 13, on the free parameters of these INRs. Chen and Wang, reference 6, further suggest that gradient-based meta-learning might not be necessary at all, instead directly training a transformer, reference 64, encoder to produce NRF parameters conditioned on multiple views of a 3D object. We combine and scale up several of the above approaches to arrive at Chappie, a conditional generative model for diverse and complex 3D implicit representations. First, we scale up the approach of Chen and Wang, reference 6, by training a transformer-based encoder to produce INR parameters for 3D assets. Next, similar to DuPont et al., reference 12, we train a diffusion model on outputs from the encoder. Unlike previous approaches, we produce INRs which represent both NeRFs and meshes simultaneously, allowing them to be rendered in multiple ways or imported into downstream 3D applications. When trained on a dataset of several million 3D assets, our models are capable of producing diverse, recognizable samples conditioned on text prompts, figure 1. Compared to point E, reference 41, a recently proposed explicit 3D generative model, our models converge faster and obtain comparable or superior results while sharing the same model architecture, datasets, and conditioning mechanisms. Surprisingly, we find that SHAP E and point E tend to share success and failure cases when conditioned on images, suggesting that very different choices of output representation can still lead to similar model behavior. However, we also observe some qualitative differences between the two models, especially when directly conditioning on text captions. Like point E, the sample quality of our models still falls short of optimization-based approaches for text conditional 3D generation. However, it is orders of magnitude faster at inference time than these approaches, allowing for a potentially favorable trade-off. We release our models, inference code, and samples at https://github.com/openai/shap-e. 2. Background. 2.1 Neural Radiance Fields, NeRF, Mildenhall et al. Reference 38. Introduce NeRF, a method for representing a 3D scene as an implicit function defined as Fe, X, D, right pointing arrow, C, O. Where X is a 3D spatial coordinate, D is a 3D viewing direction, C is an RGB color, and sigma is a non-negative density value. For convenience, we split Fa into separate functions, male sign, X, and C, X, D. To render a novel view of a scene, we treat the viewport as a grid of rays and render each ray by querying Fo at points along the ray. More precisely, each pixel of the viewport is assigned a ray R, T, equals 0 plus TD which extends from the camera origin O along a direction D. The ray can then be rendered to an RGB color by approximating the integral Mildenhall et al. Reference 38, use quadrature to approximate this integral. In particular, they define a sequence of increasing values T, I euro, 1, n, and corresponding d equals t plus 1 minus t. The integral is then approximated via a discrete sum. One remaining question is how to select the sequence of tie to achieve an accurate estimate. This can be especially important for thin features, where a coarse sampling of points along the ray the third of may completely miss a detail of the object. To address this problem, Mildenhall et al. Reference 38, suggest a two-stage rendering procedure. In the first stage, time steps t are sampled along uniform intervals of a ray, giving a coarse estimate of the predicted color C. In computing this integral, they also compute weights proportional to the influence of each point along the ray, y tilde t, 1 express, o, r, t, winking face. To sample time steps for the fine rendering stage, Mildenhall et al. Reference 38, use w to define a piecewise constant PDF along the ray. This allows a new set of t to be sampled around points of high density in the scene. While Mildenhall et al. Reference 38, use two separate NeRF models for the coarse and fine rendering stages, we instead share the parameters between the two stages but use separate output heads for the coarse and fine densities and colors. For notational convenience in later sections, we additionally define the transmittance of a ray as follows. Intuitively, this is the complement of the opacity or alpha value of a ray. I, R, equals 1 XP. 2. Two sign distance functions and texture fields, STF. Throughout this paper, we use the abbreviation STF to refer to an implicit function which produces both sign distances and texture colors. This section gives some background on how these implicit functions can be used to construct meshes and produce renderings. Sign distance functions, SDFs, are a classic way to represent a 3D shape as a scalar field. In particular, an SDF F maps a coordinate x to a scalar f, x equals d, such that d is the distance of x to the nearest point on the surface of the shape, and d less than 0 if the point is outside of the shape. As a result of this definition, the level set f, x, equals 0 defines the boundary of the shape, and sign, d, determines normal orientation along the boundary. Methods such as marching cubes, reference 35, or marching tetrahedra, reference 11, can be used to construct meshes from this level set. Shen et al. Reference 56, present DMTET, a generative model over 3D shapes that leverages SDFs. DMTET produces SDF values C and displacements avenue for each vertex versus in a dense spatial grid. The SDF values are fed through a differentiable marching tetrahedra implementation to produce an initial mesh, and then the resulting vertices are offset using the additional vector avenue. they also employ a subdivision procedure to efficiently obtain more detailed meshes, but we do not consider this in our work for the sake of simplicity. Gao et al. Reference 18. Proposed GET3D, which augments DMTET with additional texture information. In particular, they train a separate model to predict RGB colors C for each surface point P. This implicit model can be queried at surface points during rendering, or offline to construct an explicit texture. GET3D uses a differentiable rasterization library, reference 32, to produce rendered images for generated meshes. This provides an avenue to train the implicit function end-to-end with only image space gradients. 2.3. Diffusion models. Our work leverages denoising diffusion, reference 58, 60, 22, to model a high-dimensional continuous distribution. We employ the Gaussian diffusion setup of Ho et al. Reference 22, which defines a diffusion process that begins at a data sample I and gradually applies Gaussian noise to arrive at increasingly noisy samples x1, x2, xt. Typically, the noising process is set up such that xt is almost indistinguishable from Gaussian noise. In practice, we never run the noising process sequentially, but instead jump directly to a noised version of a sample according to xt equals va to plus v10. Where e, n, 0, I, is random noise, and that is a monotonically decreasing noise schedule such that au equals 1. Ho et al. Reference 22. Train a model Euro, xt, t, on a data distribution q, xo, by minimizing the objective. L simple equals xo tilde q, ro, Euro tilde n, 0, 1, t tilde u, 1, t, Euro minus 0 euros, xt, t, squared, 2n, lo, r, t, winking face. I equals 1/4 however, Ho et al. Reference 22. Also note an alternative but equivalent parameterization of the diffusion model, which we use in our work. In particular, we parameterize our model as x, xt, t, and train it to directly predict the denoised sample co by minimizing lxo equals xo tilde q, ro, tilde n, 0, 1, t tilde u, 1, t, x0, xt, t, xo, squared, to sample from a diffusion model. One starts at a random noise sample xa and gradually denoises it into samples eo1, eo to obtain a sample x from the approximated data distribution. While early work on these models focused on stochastic sampling processes, reference 58, 60, 22, other works propose alternative sampling methods which often draw on the relationship between diffusion models and ordinary differential equations, reference 59, 61. In our work, we employ the Huhn sampler proposed by Karas et al. Reference 27, as we found it to produce high-quality samples with reasonable latency. For conditional diffusion models, it is possible to improve sample quality at the cost of diversity using a guidance technique. Dariwal and Nicol, reference 9, first showed this effect using image space gradients from a noise-aware classifier, and Ho and Salomons, reference 21, later proposed classifier-free guidance to remove the need for a separate classifier. To utilize classifier-free guidance, we train our diffusion model to condition on some information y, e.g. a conditioning image or textual description, but randomly drop this signal during training to enable the model to make unconditional predictions. During sampling, we then adjust our model prediction as follows, xo, xt, t, y, equals x, x, t, plus s dot operator, xo, xt, t, y, x, xt, t, where s is a guidance scale. When s equals 0 or s equals 1, this is equivalent to regular unconditional or conditional sampling, respectively. Setting s greater than 1 typically produces more coherent but less diverse samples. We employ this technique for all of our models, finding, as expected, that guidance is necessary to obtain the best results. 2.4. Latent diffusion. While diffusion can be applied to any distribution of vectors, it is often applied directly to signals such as pixels of images. However, it is also possible to use diffusion to generate samples in a continuous latent space. Rombach et al. Reference 52, propose latent diffusion models, LDMs, as a two-stage generation technique for images. Under the LDM framework, they first train an encoder to produce latents z equals e, x, and a decoder to produce reconstructions x equals equals d, z. The encoder and decoder are trained in tandem to minimize a perceptual loss between x and x, as well as a patchwise discriminator loss on a. After these models are trained, a second diffusion model is trained directly on encoded dataset samples. In particular, each dataset example X is encoded into a latent Z, and then Z is used as a training example for the diffusion model. To generate new samples, the diffusion model first generates a latent sample Z, and then D, Z, yields an image. In the original LDM setup, the latents Z are lower dimensional than the original images, and Rombach et al. Reference 52, proposed to either regularize Z towards a normal distribution using a KL penalty, or to apply a vector quantization layer, reference 63, to prevent Z from being difficult to model. Our work leverages the above approach, but makes several simplifications. First, we do not use a perceptual loss or a GAN-based objective for our reconstructions, but rather a simple L or L reconstruction loss. Additionally, instead of using KL regularization or vector quantization to bottleneck our latents, we clamp them to a fixed numerical range and add diffusion style noise. 3. Related work. An existing body of work aims to generate 3D models by training autoencoders on explicit 3D representations and then training generative models in the resulting latent space. Acleoptes et al. Reference 1. Train an autoencoder on point clouds, an experiment with both GANs, reference 19, and GMMs, reference 8, to model the resulting latent space. Young et al. Reference 69. Likewise train a point cloud autoencoder, but their decoder is itself a conditional generative model, i.e. a normalizing flow, reference 51, over individual points in the point cloud. They also employ normalizing flows to model the latent space. Luo and Hu, reference 36, explore a similar technique, but use a diffusion model for the decoder instead of a normalizing flow. Zhang 5 et al. Reference 71, train a hierarchical autoencoder, where the second stage encodes a point cloud of latent vectors instead of a single latent code. They employ diffusion models at both stages of the hierarchy. Songyi et al. Reference 55. Train a two-stage vector quantized autoencoder, reference 63, 50, on voxel occupancy grids, and model the resulting latent sequences autoregressively. Unlike our work, these approaches all rely on explicit output representations which are often bound to a fixed resolution or lack the ability to fully express a 3D asset. More similar to our own method, some prior works have explored 3D autoencoders with implicit decoders. Fu et al. Reference 16. Encode grids of SDF samples into latents which are used to condition an implicit SDF model. Songyi et al. Reference 54. Encode voxel grids into latents which are used to condition an implicit occupancy network. Liu et al. Reference 34. Train a voxel-based encoder and separate implicit occupancy and color decoders. Kosirek et al. Reference 30. Encode rendered views of a scene into latent vectors of a VAE, and this latent vector is used to condition a NERF. Most similar to our encoder setup, Chen and Wang, reference 6, use a transformer-based architecture to directly produce the parameters of an MLP conditioned on rendered views. We extend this prior body of work with SHAP E, which produces more expressive implicit representations and is trained at a larger scale than most prior work. While the above methods all train both encoders and decoders, other works aim to produce latent conditional implicit 3D representations without a learned encoder. Park et al. Reference 43. Train what they call an autodecoder, which uses a learned table of embedding vectors for each example in the dataset. In their case, they train an implicit SDF decoder that conditions on these per sample latent vectors. Bautista et al. Reference 4. Uses a similar strategy to learn per scene latent codes to condition a NERF decoder. DuPont et al. Reference 12. Employ meta-learning to encode dataset examples as implicit functions. In their setup, they encode an example into a subset of the parameters of an implicit function by taking gradient steps on a reconstruction objective. Concurrently to our work, Arcock et al. Reference 14. Utilize diffusion to directly generate the implicit MLP weights. However, akin to reference 12, their method requires fitting NERF parameters for each scene through gradient-based optimization. Wang et al. Reference 66. Pursue a related approach, jointly training separate NERFs for every sample in a dataset, but share a subset of the parameters to ensure that all resulting models use an aligned representation space. These approaches have the advantage that they do not require an explicit input representation. However, they can be expensive to scale with increasing dataset size, as each new sample requires multiple gradient steps. Moreover, this scalability issue is likely more pronounced for methods that do not incorporate meta-learning. Several methods for 3D generation use gradient-based optimization to produce individual samples, often in the form of an implicit function. Dreamfields, reference 26, optimizes the parameters of a NERF to match a text prompt according to a clip-based, reference 46, objective. Dreamfusion, reference 45, is a similar method with a different objective based on the output of a text conditional image diffusion model. Lin et al. Reference 33. Extend dream fusion by optimizing a mesh representation in a second stage, leveraging the fact that meshes can be rendered more efficiently at higher resolution. Wang et al. Reference 65. Propose a different approach for leveraging text-to-image diffusion models, using them to optimize a differentiable 3D voxel grid rather than an MLP-based NeRF. While most of these approaches optimize implicit functions, Khalid et al. Reference 28. Optimize the numerical parameters of a mesh itself, starting from a spherical mesh and gradually deforming it to match a text prompt. One common shortcoming of all of these approaches is that they require expensive optimization procedures, and a lot of work must be repeated for every sample that is generated. This is in contrast to direct generative models, which can potentially amortize this work by pre-training on a large dataset. 4. Method. In our method, we first train an encoder to produce implicit representations, and then train diffusion models on the latent representations produced by the encoder. Our method proceeds in two steps. 1. We train an encoder to produce the parameters of an implicit function given a dense explicit representation of a known 3D asset, section 4. 2. In particular, the encoder produces a latent representation of a 3D asset which is then linearly projected to obtain weights of a multi-layer perceptron, MLP. 2. We train a diffusion prior on a dataset of latents obtained by applying the encoder to our dataset, section 4.3. This model is conditioned on either images or text descriptions. 6. We train all of our models on a large dataset of 3D assets with corresponding renderings, point clouds, and text captions, section 4.1. 4.1. Dataset. For most of our experiments, we employ the same dataset of underlying 3D assets as Nicol et al. Reference 41, allowing for fairer comparisons with their method. However, we slightly extend the original post-processing as follows. For computing point clouds, we render 60 views of each object instead of 20. We found that using only 20 views sometimes resulted in small cracks, due to blind spots, in the inferred point clouds. We produce point clouds of 16k points instead of 4k. When rendering views for training our encoder, we simplify the lighting and materials. In particular, all models are rendered with a fixed lighting configuration that only supports diffuse and ambient shading. This makes it easier to match the lighting setup with a differentiable renderer. Filled circle for our text conditional model and the corresponding pointy baseline, we employ an expanded dataset of underlying 3D assets and text captions. For this dataset, we collected roughly 1 million more 3D assets from high-quality data sources. Additionally, we gathered 120k captions from human labelers for high-quality subsets of our dataset. During training of our text to 3D models, we randomly choose between human-provided labels and the original text captions when both are available. 4.2. 3D encoder. Our encoder architecture is visualized in Figure 2. We feed the encoder both point clouds and rendered views of a 3D asset, and it outputs the parameters of a multi-layer perceptron, MLP, that represents the asset as an implicit function. Both the point cloud and input views are processed via cross-attention, which is followed by a transformer backbone that produces latent representations as a sequence of vectors. Each vector in this sequence is then passed through a latent bottleneck and projection layer whose output is treated as a single row of the resulting MLP weight matrices. During training, the MLP is queried and the outputs are used in either an image reconstruction loss or a distillation loss. For more details, see Appendix A.1. We pre-train our encoder using only a NeRF rendering objective, section 4.2.1, as we found this to be more stable to optimize than mesh-based objectives. After NeRF pre-training, we add additional output heads for SDF and texture color predictions, and train these heads using a two-stage process, section 4.2.2. We show reconstructions of 3D assets for various checkpoints of our encoder with both rendering methods in Figure 3. 4.2.1 Decoding with NeRF rendering. We mostly follow the original NeRF formulation, reference 38, except that we share the parameters between the coarse and fine models. Squared, we randomly sample 4096 rays for each training example, and minimize an L loss cubed between the true color C, R, and the predicted color from the NeRF. LRGB equals R Euro R, CC, R, C, R, 1 plus CF, R, C, R, 1. We also add an additional loss on the transmittance of each ray. In particular, the integrated density of a ray gives transmittance estimates I, R, and if, R, for coarse and fine rendering, respectively. We use the alpha channel from the ground truth renderings to obtain transmittance targets T, R, giving a second loss. LT equals ETER, TE, R, T, R, 1 plus, if, R, T, R, 7, we then optimize the joint objective. LNERF equals LRGB plus LT. 4.2.2 Decoding with STF rendering. After NeRF-only pre-training, we add additional STF output heads to our MLPs which predict SDF values and texture colors. To construct a triangle mesh, we query the SDF at vertices along a regular 128 to the power of 3 grid and apply a differentiable implementation of marching cubes 33, reference 62. We then query the texture color head at each vertex of the resulting mesh. We differentiably render the resulting textured mesh using PyTorch 3D, reference 49. We always render with the same, diffuse, lighting configuration which is identical to the lighting configuration used to pre-process our dataset. In preliminary experiments, we found that randomly initialized STF output heads were unstable and difficult to train with a rendering-based objective. To alleviate this issue, we first distill approximations of the SDF and texture color into these output heads before directly training with differentiable rendering. In particular, we randomly sample input coordinates and obtain SDF distillation targets using the pointy SDF regression model, and RGB targets using the color of the nearest neighbor in the asset's RGB point cloud. During distillation training, we use a sum of distillation losses and the pre-training NeRF loss, 8. Once the STF output heads have been initialized to reasonable values via distillation, we fine-tune the encoder for both NeRF and STF rendering end-to-end. We found it unstable to use L loss for STF rendering, so we instead use L2 loss only for this rendering method. In particular, we optimize the following loss for STF rendering: N1N82 sigma, render, mesh winking face. Image 2, LSTF, equals, I equals 1, where N is the number of images, S is the image resolution, mesh, is the constructed mesh for sample I, image, is a target RGBA rendering for image I, and render, X, renders a mesh using a differentiable renderer. We do not include a separate transmittance loss, since this is already captured by the alpha channel of the image. For this final fine-tuning step, we optimize the summed objective, LFT equals LNERF plus LSTF. 4.3. Latent diffusion. For our generative models, we adopt the transformer-based diffusion architecture of point E, but replace point clouds with sequences of latent vectors. Our latents are sequences of shape 1024x1024, and we feed this into the transformer as a sequence of 1024 tokens where each token corresponds to a different row of the MLP weight matrices. As a result, our models are roughly compute equivalent to the base point E models, i.e. have the same context length and width, while generating samples in a much higher dimensional space due to the increase of input and output channels. We follow the same conditioning strategies as point E. For image conditional generation, we prepend a 256 token clip embedding sequence to the transformer context. For text conditional generation, we prepend a single token containing the clip text embedding. To support classifier-free guidance, we randomly set the conditioning information to 0 during training with probability 0.1. Unlike point E, we do not parameterize our diffusion model outputs as E predictions. Instead, we directly predict XO, which is algebraically equivalent to predicting Euro, but produced more coherent samples in early experiments. The same observation was made by Ramesh et al. Reference 48, who opted to use to prediction when generating clip latent vectors with diffusion models. 5. Results. 5.1. Encoder evaluation. We track two render-based metrics throughout the encoder training process. First, we evaluate the peak signal-to-noise ratio, PSNR, between reconstructions and ground truth rendered images. Additionally, to measure our encoder's ability to capture semantically relevant details of 3D assets, 9. We encode meshes produced by the largest point E model and re-evaluate the clip R precision of the reconstructed NeRF and STF renders. Table 1 tracks these two metrics over the different stages of training. We find that distillation hurts NeRF reconstruction quality, but fine-tuning recovers and slightly boosts NeRF quality while drastically increasing the quality of STF renders. 5.2 Comparison to point E. Our latent diffusion model shares the same architecture, training dataset, and conditioning modes as point E. 4. As a result, comparing to point E helps us isolate the effects of generating implicit neural representations rather than an explicit representation. We compare these methods throughout training on sample-based evaluation metrics in Figure 4. As done by Jane et al., reference 26, and various follow-up literature, we compute clip R precision, reference 42, on a set of COCO validation prompts. We also evaluate clip score on these same prompts, as this metric is often used for measuring image generation quality, reference 40. we only train comparable 300 million parameter models, but we also plot evaluations for the largest 1 billion parameter point E model for completeness. In the text conditional setting, we observe that SHAP-E improves on both metrics over the comparable point E model. To rule out the possibility that this gap is due to perceptually small differences, 10 we also show qualitative samples in figure 5, finding that these models often produce qualitatively different samples for the same text prompts. We also observe that our text conditional SHAP-E begins to get worse on evaluations before the end of training. In Appendix B, we argue that this is likely due to overfitting to the text captions, and we use an early stop checkpoint for all figures and tables. Unlike the text conditional case, our image conditional SHAP-E and point E models reach roughly the same final evaluation performance, with a slight advantage for SHAP-E in clip R precision and a slight disadvantage in clip score. To investigate this phenomenon more deeply, we inspected samples from both models. We initially expected to see qualitatively different behavior from the two models, since they produce samples in different representation spaces. However, we discovered that both models tend to share similar failure cases, as shown in Figure 6a. This suggests that the training data, model architecture, and conditioning images affect the resulting samples more than the chosen representation space. However, we do still observe some qualitative differences between the two image conditional models. For example, in the first row of Figure 6b, we find that point E sometimes ignores the small slits in the bench, whereas SHAP-E attempts to model them. We hypothesize that this particular difference could occur because point clouds are a poor representation for thin features or gaps. Also, we observe in Table 1 that the 3D encoder slightly reduces clip R precision when applied to point E samples. Since SHAP-E achieves comparable clip R precision as point E, we hypothesize that SHAP-E must generate qualitatively different samples for some prompts which are not bottlenecked by the encoder. This further suggests that explicit and implicit modeling can still learn distinct features from the same data and model architecture. 5.3 Comparison to other methods. We compare SHAP-E to a broader class of 3D generative techniques on the clip R precision metric in Table 2. As done by Nicol et al. Reference 41, we include sampling latency in this table to highlight that the superior sample quality of optimization-based methods comes at a significant inference cost. We also 11 note that SHAP-E enjoys faster inference than point E because SHAP-E does not require an additional upsampling diffusion model. 6 Limitations and future work. While our text conditional model can understand many single object prompts with simple attributes, it has a limited ability to compose concepts. In Figure 7, we find that this model struggles to bind multiple attributes to different objects, and fails to reliably produce the correct number of objects when asked for more than 2. These failures are likely the result of limited paired training data, and could potentially be alleviated by gathering or generating larger annotated 3D datasets. 12 Additionally, while SHAP-E can often produce recognizable 3D assets, the resulting samples often look rough or lack fine details. Notably, Figure 3 shows that the encoder itself sometimes loses detailed textures, e.g. the stripes on the cactus, indicating that improved encoders could potentially recover some of the lost generation quality. For the best results, SHAP-E could potentially be combined with optimization-based 3D generative techniques. For example, a NeRF or mesh produced by SHAP-E could be used to initialize an optimization-based approach such as DreamFusion, potentially leading to faster convergence. Alternatively, image-based objectives could be used to guide the SHAP-E sampling process, as we briefly explore in Appendix D13. 7. Conclusion. We present SHAP-E, a latent diffusion model over a space of 3D implicit functions that can be rendered as both NeRFs and textured meshes. We find that SHAP-E matches or outperforms a similar explicit generative model given the same dataset, model architecture, and training compute. We also find that our pure text conditional models can generate diverse, interesting objects without relying on images as an intermediate representation. These results highlight the potential of generating implicit representations, especially in domains like 3D where they can offer more flexibility than explicit representations. 8. Acknowledgements. Our thanks go to Prafulla Dhariwal, Joyce Lee, Jack Ray, and Mark Chen for helpful discussions, and to all contributors of ChatGPT, which provided valuable writing feedback. 14.
Thanks for listening to this reading. For the entire paper and more, check out our homepage, papersread.ai.